for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, December the 29th, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on the conditions of the heart.
I want to talk about a hardness of heart, and I don't have my overhead. Can y'all see this heart? This heart? You can see it? Okay, let's say that's your heart. One way our heart can get hardened is by making a vow. You know, I just won't love that person anymore. Or I just won't talk to that person anymore. Or next time they say this, I'm going to say this. You see, this is idolatry. Every time I make an inner vow or an outer vow, I'm really turning to that vow to protect my heart instead of turning to God. Does that make sense? Because any time I turn to anything but God, then I am into idolatry. But what happens is one way our heart is hardened is you're not going to hurt me anymore. I'm going to get you back. I just will ignore you from now on. I'll never forgive you. I'll get revenge. And see, that's what happens. It's like we build a wall around our heart. And that's one reason we can't comprehend and understand sometimes the Word of God, because a hardened heart blocks out the Word of God. It keeps me from giving and receiving love. So these walls have to be torn down, and we do this to protect our heart. We trust these promises we make ourselves to protect our heart, when it's really, we're trusting an idol if we're not letting God protect our heart. And see, if we don't deal with these issues, there's bitterness and anger and hurt between all of these things. And so that's one way that our heart is hardened. Have you ever wondered, those of you who minister, have you ever wondered why some people will hear the Word of God and take off with it, and other people don't get it? They can't comprehend it. It's because of hardness of heart. Because we've hardened our heart. And most of us, I know that, you know, this has been true of my life, you know, growing up. Well, I just won't let them know they've hurt me. Another wall. I won't give them the satisfaction of knowing that I'm hurt. It's all pride is all it is, to protect ourselves. And Satan is king over all the sons of pride. And the condition of a person's heart has much to do with the Word of God in our life as anything else. Our heart determines the way that God moves in our lives. And I'm convinced that at the root of most heart problems is a hardness of heart. I've had nurses that have been in surgery, for heart surgery, and they have said there's parts of people's heart that are hard. Now, God tells us in Ezekiel 11, He wants to remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. He wants to give us a tender heart. And some things about the heart, I just want to read this. A hardness of heart is a stubborn, and we talked about stubborn, perverse, crooked yesterday or day before yesterday. I don't remember. It says, I do remember. I have the mind of Christ. A stubborn attitude that leads a person to reject God's will. And see, we've done that, but coming down generationally, we've come out of generations of perverse, stubborn, crooked people. And the more dysfunctional your family is or has been, or how you've grown up, means that there's more stuff in the generations that you have to deal with. The more a family is functional under the Word of God, and not as, you know, kids grow up with love and respect and conversation and proper discipline and grow up in a Christian home, there's not as much to deal with. But if you look at the mess of your life and you think, well, there's been perversion, there's been alcoholism, there's been drug addiction, there's been child abuse, there's been emotional abuse, there's physical abuse, you know that there's more stuff coming down the generations that have to be dealt with and things that we have to forgive our forefathers for. Teaching about the heart has a group of meanings. It is the location of intellectual powers, your thinking processes. It has to do with the seat of your emotions. And, you know, your heart and your bowels are tied together, you know, like bowels of mercy. Has to do, a hardened heart can have to do with constipation because your bowels of mercy have been shut off or things that you hold on to. Even the reverse of that, you know, would be where people have, what do you call the diarrhea thing all the time? Irritable bowel syndrome. I think in Job it says, my bowels are seething. So you see, that's rooted in anger. But constipation has, there's others that says that my bowels are straighted or shut off. And so your bowels have to do with your emotions. And, you know, there's two kinds of people. There's stuffers and there's exploders. There's people that wouldn't dare just, you know, blow up, but in their heart they're stuffing how they feel. And see, that affects your bowels and your emotions. I'm not a stuffer, but in my past, I'd be a person that I would stuff it for about 6 months, and then I'd blow up, and boy, you'd get 6 months of stuff. So by nature, I'm really not a stuffer. But you know what? If you're a stuffer, it's going to come out somewhere in pain in your body. God tells us that we need to speak the truth in love. And when you and I cannot speak the truth in love, there's a violation of our conscience. 1 John 3:21 says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. That's not only faith and trust in God, but it also means you have freedom of speech. If you're a stuffer, you don't have freedom of speech, right? For some reason, you feel like you have to stuff that. You understand what I'm saying? But when your conscience is clear, then you can speak the truth in love because it gives you freedom of speech. God doesn't want us to blow up and He doesn't want us to stuff. He wants us to deal with our issues so we can speak the truth in love. The heart, in effect, is the whole person and all of his or her distinctive human activity as thinking, planning, willing, feeling, worshiping, socially interacting, being, and of course when a person is not living according to the Word of God. It is the heart that is described as being darkened, which means rebellious, callous, unfeeling, idolatrous. It is within the heart that God works. The heart represents the total response of a person to life around him or her and to the religious and moral demands of God. Hardness of heart thus describes a negative condition in which the person ignores, spurns or rejects the gracious offer of God to be a part of his life or her life. Even the emotions of hatred come from the heart. The functions of the will, both good and bad, come from the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is the source of pride. When your heart's lifted up and you forget the Word of God, that's pride. Paul emphasized that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And the Bible makes it clear that humans can resist God who respects the free human will. One of the most important ways of resisting God is for a person to harden his heart. You know, Hebrews chapter 3, if you'll turn there, Hebrews chapter 3, God says in Hebrews chapter 3, today, when you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. You know, every time God tells us something and we say, no, God, no, God, no, God, or that couldn't be God. No, no, God. Every time we do that, we harden our heart even more. And the Word of God will either harden your heart or it will soften your heart. You know, when it says, delight yourself in the Lord and you'll have the desires of your heart, that means make, that word in the Hebrew means make your heart soft, tender, and pliable to the Word of God. When you hear God's voice, Lord, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to tell me? And that's what it means to delight in the Lord, and you'll have the desires of your heart. Hebrews chapter 3, 4. Let's see, where did I say? Chapter 3 and 4. in verse 7 it says there, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me, as in, and that's in Psalm 78 and Psalms 95, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. You know, your wilderness is your circumstances. It's what you go through. The children of Israel were out in the wilderness, and our wilderness is our circumstances. And your wilderness and my wilderness is the negative way we were trained up. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And so down here, in our parents are going to fail. The best parents in the world are going to fail in areas of training up their children in the way they should go, because there's no perfect human being. Even the most godly Christian families are going to miss it someplace because we're not perfect people. And so in the negative training up, this is the things that you did not deal with in your childhood. Now you're reliving them up here. You say, well, that was before I became a Christian. It doesn't matter. Everything that has been done to you or you have done, there has been a sowing into your heart, either negative or positive. And that sowing is going to reap either negative fruit or positive fruit. And so the bad fruit that's growing in your life is rooted in unresolved issues in your childhood of your negative training up processes, where you let the sun go down on your anger, you stuffed it, and it set in motion forces, and now today you're reaping it up here, and you're thinking, oh dear God, where are all these problems? And see, God wants you to ask Him to show you what it is He's trying to teach you, what you didn't deal with in your childhood, and that's like pulling up a negative weed and planting something good. You plant corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. You get the same thing you plant, more than you plant, and later than you plant. And there's been a planting in our life, and all of those negative things that have been planted have to be uprooted. And that's what deliverance is. That's what sanctification is. That's what possessing your land is. And you see how I grew up, my circumstances up here are different than yours. Everybody has their own set of stuff they have to overcome. And so when you come to Christ, He sets out to retrain you in the areas where you were not trained correctly. That's why He disciplines every son whom He loves. And if you don't let God discipline you, Hebrews 12 says you're illegitimate bastard child. And so this cotton candy gospel teaches you, as Brother shared last night, and that was so anointed. Oh my goodness. That was so helpful to people. But that cotton candy gospel lets you think that you can keep your anger and your bitterness and your unforgiveness and your fear. You can't keep it. If you keep it, you're not letting God deal with it. So you have to give up your life, Jesus said, if you want to find it. And so don't harden your heart. Hardness of heart thus describes a negative condition in which the person ignores, spurns, or rejects the gracious offer of God. When God's people were in captivity in Egypt, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And then it said that he had a hardened heart, and then God hardened his heart. In the New Testament, Jesus took up the same theme as he warned the disciples. Has your heart been hardened? And that was regarding the loaves and the fishes. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Mark 6:52. So a disciple can get his heart hardened. A disciple, Jesus said, you know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. In John 8, he said, as a disciple, you will abide in my word and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So a disciple will abide in the word of God. I was convicted when Brother Howard said last night that you don't spend 30 minutes in the word of God. I was convicted. Because sometimes, you know, having a kennel and all the other things I do, Somebody will give me a book. I say, I don't have time to read the book. I'm having a hard enough time reading the Word. And by the way, I've got some books in my library I'm fixing to get rid of, because my prayer room is the only place that I don't sense a total awesome presence of God in my study. Partly because of the clutter that's laying in the floor. The only part of my house that's cluttered is right there around my chair. Because if I move it, I can't find it. And then I have a library of books, and some of these authors are into psychology. And see, it's bringing in their doctrines are bringing in demons. And so, Brother Fox, I'm trying to think of his first name. He's so precious. Carl. You know, he shared yesterday, that says, don't bring in a cursed thing in your house lest you come under the curse. So that should be something that we need to examine. When in doubt, throw it out. We need to go through our house, through our ministries, through whatever, and chunk the things that we have that are coming out of teachers that are into heresy. Because that can bring a curse on us. It can. Even having CDs and stuff by teachers that are not teaching correctly can bring a curse to us. So it really convicted me that I'm going to go home and again go through my library and chunk anything. You know, I'm going to keep Andrew Murray and some of those great, great men of God. But there's some stuff that's got some psychology in it of some of these teachers that are Knights of Malta. We need to get rid of that. And so, don't give it away. Burn it. You might be surprised about the way it'll blaze up, too. And if it's something you can't burn, squirt barbecue fluid. What do you call that stuff? Lighter fluid. Squirt it out on there and burn it. And then toss it. And failure to hear God may come from a hardened heart. Can't hear God. A hardened heart keeps a person from getting delivered. And those of you who've been in the deliverance ministry, you can know sometimes you can pray for people and boy, they just get delivered. And other people, there's just such a wall around their heart that you just feel a block. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, we harden our heart and it keeps us from loving and giving love and receiving love. There was a time in my life when I would pray for people that I would pray for them across the room, never touch them. And I had a friend tell me the other day, Jerry, when I used to hug you, you don't hug the way you used to. You ever hug somebody and they feel stiff inside? That's a hardness of heart. And see, I've come out of generations of that, and probably you have too. Now I rock them if God tells me to, and I hug them and I kiss them, and, you know, I hug different than I used to. I remember my son Todd, when he died, when you'd hug him, it would be stiff, you know? Because he have a hardness of heart. And you know what? I did that to him. And I forgive myself. How many of you have regret over the way you trained your children? Oh, God. I remember saying to him once, son, would you please... This was when he was dying. I said, son, would you please forgive me for not being the kind of mother that you could crawl up in my lap and tell me your problems? You know what he said? He said, oh, Mom... You did the best you knew how, and I did. But you know what? He said, Mom, I didn't want you to know my problems. You know why he didn't want me to know his problems? Because I'd go into orbit. You know what? And that shut his heart off. And I meant it when I said, oh, Todd, please forgive me for being the kind of mother. I apologized to my kids the other day. I said, I think I've shared this. I said to my oldest son, who's my pastor, I said, son, have I asked you? Now, my husband left me for another woman. But I just said, son, I was thinking, you know, I probably never have asked him to forgive me. And I said, son, would you please forgive me for my part in the divorce between your daddy and I? Have I asked you to forgive me? He said, yeah, about 50 times. And the other day I said something, would you forgive me for doing something else? He said, yeah, Mom, you were a terrible mother. But you know something, when you ask him to forgive you, if you don't ask him to forgive you, their heart is hardened toward you. But if you ask them to forgive you for your failures, it tenderizes their heart. Like, they may not act like they're receiving it. They may just reject you. But can I tell you, it breaks something in the spirit realm. It corrects something that's crooked. And you'll see the fruit of your humbling yourself before them. The Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so we harden our heart in sinful rebellion. We can be bitter toward our circumstances. And you know, if you're angry at God, I can tell you you're angry at your mother and father. Hello? Anger at God is rooted in anger toward your mother and father. Because how you judge your mother and father, unconsciously you're judging God the same way. And we're warned not to harden our heart. In the Psalms, the wicked are described as people with a calloused, hard heart. Go to Psalms 95, please. 95:8. It says, "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hands. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your heart." And I believe I have a definition in this Bible that I want to read in Psalms 95:6. It says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we're the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your heart." And that means hard-hearted, stiff-necked, difficult, cruel, severe, strong, violent, and fierce. Have you ever been that way? Maybe when your demons started roaring and raging. I know that could apply to me. And you know, I also will tell you that hardness of heart is one of the roots to eye problems. The Lord showed me this, and I ran off and left my definition, so I don't know what book or where I stuck them in the little definitions that have to do with the hardness of heart, but how God showed me how it affects our eyes. Because the eyes of our understanding is the eyes of our heart. Our heart and our eyes are tied together because how we see things, the eyes are the index of the soul, how we pity people, how we judge people, how we have compassion toward people, how we lust, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. And the major root to eye problems is pride. I don't know if you are like me, but that's been the major sin of my life has been pride. And it's like an iceberg. You can deal with it and some more will float up. There's a lot of it under the water. You know, Satan is king over all the areas where we walk in pride. And I'm asking God to give me a humble heart. And I'm convinced that most heart problems and eye problems are related to a hard heart. I'd encourage you, if you've got heart problems, to pull up all the scriptures on heart. There's at least 800 scriptures on the heart. And you can see real clearly, when you do that, what the root to your heart problems are. Go to Hosea chapter 10, please. Hosea 10. Get the right Bible here. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness." So, you know, our heart is our spiritual garden of our heart. And so God is saying, let your sowing be sowing that produces righteousness. In other words, don't let your sowing be things that produce death. Don't let your sowing be things that produce negative results. We should go about our lives doing things for other people that is sowing good things into their life, because what we sow, we reap. And the things that have been sown into our life, we pull up those negative things through repentance, through forgiving those that have hurt us. It says, "Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground." And that's 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "You're building your house and your field." Your body's a field. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says, "Your soil." And so it's telling us to break up our fallow ground. That's land that's laid up. Anybody that's been into farming, I haven't, but I looked up this terminology, but it's land that's gotten hard and been laid up. And so God is telling us that we can choose the condition of our heart by what we do. Every time you forgive somebody, your heart becomes a little softer. And I've shared this earlier with you. If you're trying to forgive and can't, it's rooted in an unresolved childhood issue. Where other times somebody will say, "Well, Jerry, will you forgive me for what I said 3 days ago?" And I'll say, "Well, what did you say?" "Well, I said this." "Oh, I didn't think nothing of that. I didn't take offense to that. That's not a hard issue." But how many of you have said, "I forgive," which is a choice, it's not an emotion, and 2 hours later you're still arguing with them in your head, or the next day you're thinking, "Well, when they said this, I should have said this. Rah, 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 rah. Well, next time they do this, I'm going to do that. Rah, rah, rah." And see, that means there's something down in your heart. It's a mother-daddy issue. One day I had a disagreement with somebody and they said they were sorry and I said I was sorry. And I share this over and over because this is something you need to know. You need to get it if you haven't. How many of you know you can hear things and you can get it the first time, or you might hear it 50 times before you get it? One thing I loved about Milton Green, I mean, he talked the same thing every day for three days, the same thing, and I went to 55 of his meetings and heard something different every time. Because he was reading the Word of God. Anyway, she said, we got into a disagreement. She said she was sorry. I said I was sorry. And I said, well, the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. I said, "Well, Lord, she said she was sorry." And I said, "I was sorry. Why can't I get over this?" And the Lord said, "She's reminding you of issues about your mother you haven't forgiven your mother for." "Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for." "Forgive your mother for everything you can't stand about this person." "I forgive my mother for this, this, this." And then that person was not even an issue anymore. Because Jesus said, forgive from the heart. And that's the doorway. That's the first person that ever hurt you, which usually is your mother or father. Even if somebody else hurt you, you need to forgive your mother and father for not protecting you. Because that's their job. Okay, it says, so with a view to righteousness. In other words, I want to start from this day only letting things be planted in my heart that's going to produce righteousness. It says, break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord. Until he comes to rain righteousness on you, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped injustice, you have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your way in your numerous warriors. So God is telling me if I want to produce, that I have to break up the hardness of my heart before it will receive the seed. Is that right? Have you ever tried to plant a seed on hard ground? Am I the only one? I remember I bought 3 or 4 pounds of wildflower seed. And I didn't bother to plow up the field. I just threw them out. Just threw them out. Well, the birds came and ate them. And I had maybe 3 or 4 flowers. There's been other times I've tried to plant something, and it didn't have a firm root. It was just hanging on by a thread. Have y'all planted something like that? And the minute the sun hits it, it goes, cheer, it wilts. The sun is your circumstances. But if you go out there every day and squirt the water on it, it'll perk up. But the first day you miss putting water on it, it'll just go like this. But if you go out there and you dig around it and you loosen the soil and put some more dirt up around it and then water it, it'll grow. And so it's the same with our lives. Our lives are spiritual gardens. And our hearts are hard because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers, because of our vowing that we were going to do this or we're not going to do that, or, you know, "I'm going to get you back," or "I'm going to never talk to you again," or whatever we do, we harden our heart. Or we just give up. How many of us in a marriage try and try and try, harden our heart, and we just get to where that we just don't even care anymore? I can say that happened to me. The only way I could cope with a bad marriage was just to tune them out. And if you are married and you tell me you've never done that, well, I'll tell you, you're probably lying. We think that getting married, that person is supposed to be the one that makes us happy. No, he's the one, or she's the one, that's going to grind all the mess off you. Wish I'd have known that. I might have had a happier marriage. So I'm telling you what I've learned is hindsight. When you're in the midst of the battle, sometimes you don't see it. It's amazing how sometimes we balance one another. You know, one of you is organized and the other is disorganized. Or, you know, you can give other illustrations. And so God is telling us to break up the fallow ground. Okay, in verse 11, it says Ephraim, and that's another word for the church. Ephraim means double fruit. Fruit for the Lord and fruit for the devil. And you kind of see that for the way the body of Christ is. One minute we're producing fruit for the Lord, and the next minute we're spewing off something and it's fruit for the devil. It says, and Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. Now that word thresh in the Hebrew means that Ephraim, he likes to tramp down his garden. It means to thresh, to tread down his garden. Ephraim makes his heart harder. But it says, but Judah will plow, which means praise. So praise plows up the garden, right? And Jacob harrows, that means he levels out the clods. So there's three kinds of people here. There's a Jacob, a Judah, and an Ephraim. Are you a person that hardens your heart? Are you a praiser? Are you a worshiper? Are you a repenter? Repentance will break up the fallow ground. Forgiveness will. Okay? In the Hebrew, the word break up the fallow ground means to plow up and make a field shine. Now, Jesus said that he was the light of the world, but he said, you're the light of the world, right? And so what it's saying is every time I repent, my field shines more. And it says, you're the light of the world. And it says, Matthew 5:14, Jesus told the disciples, he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And so a hardened heart, it goes on to say that, he says, dude, a city on a hill, you're the light of the world, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light show shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. So whenever I have a hardened heart, it's like a peck measure covering up my light. That my heart's crusted over so the light can't get through. And so as I repent, praise, worship, and as I repent, then what happens is I'm making this field shine and God's glory comes through. And the more you repent, the more you love the Lord, the more you line up with the Word, the more your field shines. And the Bible says, I believe in Matthew 10, that in the last days, the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Hallelujah. And then it talks about the wise virgins, the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins didn't have any oil for their lamp and their light didn't shine. And then the Lord said that the wise virgins said, go to the merchants. The merchants are those cotton candy guys, those false prophets that don't tell you anything that will change your life. And I've been convicted, and I'm talking to myself too. When we stand to teach, we don't need to spend all of our time talking about my ministry, my healing, who I healed, my family. I mean, it's okay to give an illustration that will prove a point. But I'm convicted myself, if I don't give you the Word of God, I'm doing you a disservice. So it's time we stop all the talk and let's get to the Word of God that burns stuff off. The Bible says the Word of God is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. And it's not an easy listening gospel. It's easy for you to listen to me tell you all about my family and all about my daddy and all about this and all about that. And I've done that and I ask you to forgive me. But I'm really wanting to correct my own life too. That's easy listening. That's cotton candy. That's not hearing one thing that's going to change your life. And that's the purpose of you listening. You know, you can sit and watch TV all day long and never get bored. But I'm telling you, when the Word of God is burning stuff up, it's hard to listen to it. But let me tell you, I learned this through, in my opinion, Milton Green was one of the greatest men of God, in my opinion, that ever lived because God used him to change my life. Not to honor him, but I honor the Word of God that came forth from this man's mouth. All he did for 3 days was read the Word of God to you. That's all he did. And that's where I met Walter. Walter and I'd be out there on the front. We'd get up there at 5 o'clock in the morning so we could get plenty seats. And that's where we met. Everybody else was asleep, but Walter and I were at the gate. Walter worked for him until he died and then worked for his wife. And so we've been friends for a lot of years. But what I loved about that, one meeting I went to, I learned more about the Word of God than I had in 25 years in the church. And so we need to come out. If you're sitting under a cotton candy gospel, you need to get out of there. And let me show you why. Turn to Revelation chapter 18, please. And he cried out, chapter 18, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean, hateful bird.'" Now, a bird can't put you in prison, but a demon can. So it's talking about the harlot church that teaches, Brother Howard said last night, the Laodicean church is the one that's going to be destroyed by the beast. In fact, it says the beast makes war with the harlot. And he was sharing last night in Revelation how the beast overcomes the Laodicean church, which is the harlot church. It's the church of the cotton candy gospel. It's the church where they're honoring a false prophet above the Word of God. They have so either left out or watered down the Word of God that it's not even taught today in most places. It says, "And he cried out, 'Babylon the Great has fallen. She's become a dwelling place of demons.'" And I can say pretty much that so of almost every place. And I'm not saying I have all the light or you have all the light. None of us have all the light. Tom and I were talking about this early, I think a few days ago, how even in our prayer groups, we don't all pray the same. But let me tell you, that's good. Because what Tom don't see, I see, or what I don't see, Don and Ada sees, or Carla sees. And it's like the Holy Spirit orchestrates it. And that's wonderful. God doesn't want, I don't have all the light. Tom doesn't have all the light. You don't have all the light. But we exercise the little bit of light we have and ask God for more. But a hardened heart keeps me from getting the light that God wants me to have. It says, for the nations have drank the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come up out of this place, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. Can I tell you, plagues are going to be loosed over Babylon, the harlot church. And there will be two suppers. There will be the marriage supper of the Lamb where you eat with Jesus as the bride of Christ. But there's another supper where the birds and the vultures eat you. Come up out of her, my people, lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her, to the degree that she glorified herself. And you know what it's of if it points to I, me, my. You know if it's of the Lord, if it's giving glory to a man or to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus. Many places where they're calling a great revival, you can watch the videos. They never talk about repentance. They never use the name of Jesus. They just want you to let them heal you. And you know what? The devil doesn't mind taking away a minor demon if he can put a bigger one in. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree, give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I said as queen, I'm the bride of Christ. And I am not a widow. In other words, Jesus is my bridegroom. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm not a widow. And will never see mourning. In other words, I'm saved by grace. I don't have to deal with my stuff. What a lie out of the pit of hell. What a doctrine of a demon. This doctrine of once saved, always saved Can I tell you, I've been saved almost 40 years, 50, it's been a long time. Maybe it's almost 50 years, I don't know. And there's never been one day in those years that I have ever doubted my salvation. And it's not save, lost, every time you blow it, you're saved, you're lost, or we'd have been lost, we'd have been killed a long time ago. But it begins when you receive Jesus and you walk it out as you deal and let God discipline you and you put to death the deeds of the flesh and you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. But the doctrine of once saved, always saved, you got your ticket punched. And even the doctrine of the rapture. I know I go to a certain beauty shop in Lindale and the lady is into prosperity. She's precious. She loves the Lord. But she's always saying, I'm not concerned about what's going on in the world. I'm going to be on the first bus out of here, and so are you, Jerry. And I said, you know what? I hope you're right. I hope that I'm wrong about that. But you know what? I'm going to live like you're wrong. And then I'll have nothing to lose. Be prepared. I hope that God does get us out of here. I'm ready right now. People say, well, this is the greatest days, and I know it's true. But it hadn't got from my head to my heart yet. I'm not looking forward to it. But God's working in my heart. He's building up my faith. And we have a prayer meeting. We've started it. Started out Stand Up Lindale and Pray. And you pray about starting a prayer group in your particular neighborhood, city, community. Because if we don't pray, we're going to be taken over, as Brother Howard said. David said, every morning I destroy the wicked of the city. By the blessings of the upright, a city is set in high, safe place. And we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And we need to exercise that authority. And I'm so thankful, since I've been a Christian, I have longed for a prayer group like I'm now in. And if you live in East Texas, come and pray with us on Thursday from 10 to 1. But I pray with some ladies that I'm telling you, I can't wait till the next week. These ladies are tremendous prayers, not to exalt them, but they see the need that if we don't pray, and it's really sad that in a whole city we passed out flyers that we can only get 4 or 5 people so far. Isn't that pitiful? God, please help us. Please motivate us. Please cause us, Lord, to want to please You. A hardened heart is the peck measure that blocks our light from shining out. It blocks His glory. Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4 says your soil. So to make your field shine, it would mean that you would turn from a barren life to a fruitful life. From hardness of heart to a soft, tender heart. Go to Matthew chapter 13, please. Verse 2. Verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to Him, so that He got into His boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as He sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And I want to say this, you are one of these 4 types of soil. Are you the one where the seed is sowed and the word just falls on deaf ears to the side of the road and the birds come and get it? It says, and others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, on hard hearts. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now see, that's a picture of a person with a hard heart. The minute a circumstance hits, the sun scorches him because he has no firm root. It says in Mark 4, just hold your place and go to Mark 4. And you know, God says if you understand this parable, you'll understand all the parables in the Word of God. Mark 4, it says, verse 17 says, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Now the hardness of heart person represents a heart that's hard And when they receive the word with joy and they're excited about the word. I don't want to go to hell. Yes, I received Jesus. So they walk a little further and they hear you have to forgive. The word persecutes them. And they walk a little further and they hear you can't let the sun go down on your anger. Well, I'm mad. The word persecutes me. And because they won't deal with their stuff, they fall away. Are you a person that the minute a circumstance hits, you just let the sun scorch you? That's the hardness of heart. And then back to Matthew 13. It says they fall away because of the persecution of the word. It says, but the sun has risen, which represents the circumstances, the afflictions, and they were scorched, and because they have no root, they withered away. Because the persecution of the word, they fall away. They don't want to deal with their stuff. And can I tell you, that's 90% at least of the church today. God's got a remnant that's dealing with their stuff. And you know what? A person that's truly God's remnant, can I tell you, you can't stand it when you displease the Lord? Because the word of God, because God is your Lord, your Master, your King. And let me tell you, His remnant is brought to the place where they don't want nothing but God's will. If there's other things that you're wanting more than God, you need to get saved. God transformed my life and totally changed me. I accepted the Lord when I was 18 years old at a Billy Graham crusade. Kept on cussing, kept on smoking, kept on telling dirty jokes. My mother used to say, Jerry, whatever you do it. You go to extreme by everything you do. Well, I hope God thinks I'm a fanatic for Him. But anyway, He said, and then 5 years later, I got born again. And a cuss word came out of my mouth, and I said, oh, God, that doesn't sound like anything a Christian ought to say. And God delivered me 47 years ago or 50 years ago when I was 25, delivered me from using bad language. Verse 8, and others fell on the good... No, say, let's go back. It says, and others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Now, that represents a person that gets so preoccupied in life, as this brother was sharing, and I'm not saying he's that way now, but he was sharing that he worked how many hours? 80, 90 hours a week, and how the work choked out the Word of God. And, of course, God wants us to work. Thank God for a man that works. Nowadays, that's a rarity to find a man or woman that'll work. But we can let whatever we do crowd out the Word of God. I can do that too, getting busy, doing other things. We have to discipline ourselves to be in the Word. We have to discipline ourselves to pray. It says, and others fell on the good soil. That's the soil, the good sandy loam soil. The soil that will grow anything. I've lived in parts of the country that you could just drop a seed and you'd have a redbud tree come up. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, over and over in the Word of God, Jesus said, to him who has ears, let him hear. They all had ears, but they didn't all have ears to hear. And all of us in different varying degrees do not have ears to hear. I'm saying, God, I want to hear you. How many are always saying, God, I want to hear you? I cry out in the morning. I get on my knees and I say, God, I want to hear you. I want ears to hear, God. He says, cry out for wisdom. Cry out for discernment. Cry out for discretion. And the disciples came. And they said, Lord, why do you speak to these multitudes in parables? And he said, to you, disciples, it's been granted to know the mystery of the kingdom. You see, if you're not a disciple, you're never going to get completely delivered, and you're never going to get, you won't even be saved. Jesus said, you know you're my disciples if you have love for one another, because love fulfills the new covenant. He said, if you abide in my words, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In Isaiah, it says, he will give you the tongue of a disciple that you might sustain the weary one with a word. And morning by morning, he's going to wake up your ears to listen as a disciple, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back. Lord, wake, put your hands on your ears. God, wake up my ears. I cry out, wake up my ears. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And then he said, why, Lord, do you speak to the multitudes in these parables? And Jesus said, to you, disciples, it's been granted to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to the multitudes out there, you give them, he says, they do not see. Back up, verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. They don't get it. You see, a disciple, it comes from a word, the disciplined one. Let God discipline you. Disciples, let God discipline them. That means God correcting mistakes and cultivating your soul in righteousness. Go to God and ask Him to show you what He's trying to show you. And if you grew up with a daddy that wouldn't show you nothing, or everything he said was stupid, then you receive a lie that God's the same way, so you've got to forgive your daddy for that before God will even speak to you, because that puts a block between you and God. It says, in their case, in verse 14, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you'll not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, means to make sick, to make stupid, to render the soul dull and callous. And with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I should heal them. So you're saying disciples see, hear, and understand in degrees. I mean, not perfectly, because we're human. But, you know, God looks at the heart. Do you have a heart of a disciple to let God discipline you so that you can hear, see? And see, generationally, if you have a problem hearing spiritual, he's talking about spiritual hearing, spiritual seeing, and spiritual understanding. If you have a problem hearing, seeing, and understanding, that could come down generationally from the generational iniquities of the forefathers who were in rebellion, who are stubborn, perverse. And so examine all these areas. What kind of bloodline did you come out of? What kind of mess is back there in your generations? If you've read Gene Moody's red book on deliverance, he talks about the Jukes and the Calicut family in there, how one man who went to a pub got a mentally ill woman pregnant, and out of that demonic union, there were hundreds of mentally ill people, perverts, prostitutes, houses of ill repute, syphilis, gonorrhea. You just see, because of one man's mistake getting drunk in a pub. So we can imagine what's back there in our generations. If you've done it, deal with it. And then also deal with the generational iniquities of the forefathers. So you see, for us to have healing, we have to be able to see, hear, and understand. We have to have the truth that sets us free. In Proverbs 15:32, it says, he who hates discipline despises himself. But it says, if we turn to God, we'll gain understanding, which is the truth that sets us free. So we have to let God discipline us for us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that can understand, so that we can be healed. Every time we go against the Word of God and violate our conscience, when He tells us to do something, we harden our heart a little more. Some of you have hardened your heart against your brothers and against your sisters. God wants us to love our brothers and sisters. And nobody's immune to this. Hardness of heart blocks the understanding. In Deuteronomy 32, when I shared a night before last, in Deuteronomy 32, it says, when you have idols, you lose your understanding. The understanding is the truth that sets you free. Harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. Hosea 4, the people without understanding are ruined. Forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. Understanding is the necessary ingredient for you to get healed, because it is the truth that sets you free. Third John says, Beloved, I want above all you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So your health and prosperity will be in proportion to a prospering soul. And this is the only place your soul is going to prosper is through reading the Word of God and memorizing it and meditating on it. No man can soften your heart. And according to the Word of God, you and I determine the condition of our heart. Our actions and the things we do, the things we listen to, what seeds we let be planted in our heart. Recently, the Lord showed me that the news media in America is more dangerous than Al-Qaeda. In my opinion, that's been something that has been totally conjured up by the news media. We wouldn't even know about Al-Qaeda and the people that want to hurt us, supposedly want to hurt us, if it wasn't for the news media. They're the firebug and the fire marshal. The American people have been brainwashed by the news media. And that's the truth. There's people that will listen to the news media and believe everything that's said. It's been, the news media has just about destroyed America. The media. Hollywood is owned by the people that are wanting to be one world. Everything is owned by them. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he offered him all the kingdoms of the world and all the riches. And there's been people that have bought into that. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Proverbs 4 tells you to watch over your heart with all diligence. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, please. It says, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them, my word, depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs or the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious lips far from you, because what comes out of your heart, what comes out of your mouth, comes out of your heart. That's why it says by your words you're going to be justified, by your words you're going to be condemned. So we need to watch what kind of seeds are planted in our heart. You know, there are seeds of, this is the seed of the Word of God, but the devil's, the opposite of this is seeds too. And what you're let plant in your heart, even through the news media, I don't even watch it anymore because it's total brainwashing. I've often wondered, why is there one station conservative and the other station is liberal, and they're all owned by the same people? Behind the scenes, they're probably having cocktails and slapping each other on the back and laughing about how stupid the American people are. Why is it there's this division? Because Satan is a dividing force. He wants to cause revolution. He wants to cause strife. And what it is, it's just stirring strife. God says where there's selfish ambition and strife and jealousy, there's every demonic work. So we need to let God program us through the Word of God. A good thing to do is listen to the Word while you sleep. Lay the Word of God over your spiritual garden. Let the seeds of God's Word fall into your spiritual garden. And you know, a hardened heart can make you stupid spiritually and spiritually retarded. Now I'm just going to give you, just read some symptoms of a hard heart, and then we're going to pray. Some symptoms of a hard heart: it's easier for you to relate in the natural realm than it is into the spiritual realm. If it is easier for you to relate in the natural more than the spiritual, you have a hard heart. If you're more moved by what the doctor has to say, and that has greater impact on you than what God has to say, then you have a hardened heart. If you're more interested in excelling in temporal things than in spiritual things, then you have a hardened heart. If you have a hard time understanding the Word of God, then you have a hardened heart towards God. If you get very little or no deliverance or healing, it's because of a hardened heart. If you're more earthly-minded than heavenly-minded, it's because you have a hardened heart. If you have a hard time hearing from God, that could be because you've judged your mother and father, and it can be because of a hardened heart. If you're cold to the things of God and unfeeling, insensitive, or unyielding, then that is evidence of a hard heart. You know, this one about if you have a hard time hearing from God or hearing the Word of God. You know, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The first seminar I ever taught, there was a girl that came up to me and she said, Jerry, I really have a hard time listening to the Word of God. And I said, did you have a hard time listening to your earthly father? She said, oh, yes. She said, every time he would speak, I would just go, ah, I can't stand his voice. So I led her in repentance. You see, that can be one of the roots to hearing problems. You shut off your mother and father, or you shut out things that, or maybe you even just shut out the voice of somebody that's always criticizing you. That's one thing the Lord showed me. It's like, you can pretend you're listening, but here is, click, I turn you off. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, I led her in repentance, and 3 months later, she was in my kitchen. She said, Jerry, you remember when you prayed for my ears? I said, yeah. She said, I didn't know it, but I was hard of hearing. And see, the Lord showed me that her heart, she didn't know she was hard of hearing because she could still hear. But when she repented, she could hear, really hear. So if you have hearing problems, that could be the root of it. If you're cold in the things of God, unfeeling, unsensitive, or unyielding, that is evidence of a hard heart. A lack of being able to perceive spiritual truth is a characteristic of a hardened heart. A hardened heart makes you spiritually dull, spiritually non-perceptive, also lack of understanding. And the Bible's hard to understand because you have a hardened heart. You can quote Bible facts but not understand them. That can be a root of a hardened heart. If the Word of God is not open to you, if it doesn't speak to you, if you don't hear God communicate to you out of it, it's because of a hardened heart. And I believe all of us, in varying degrees, have had a hardened heart. I know I have. You know, coming out of just unfeeling, just could care less attitude. And you know what? We need to repent of that. You know, you can't drum up, and you can't drum it up. You know, it's hard for, you know, being, it's hard for me to cry. I can cry now easier than I used to. See, that's rooted in a hardened heart. One of the reasons that it was hard for me to cry is because one of the times that my daddy spanked me, I cried till he apologized. What a brat I was. And when I found myself getting tired of crying, I went, ah. I'm sharing that to not glorify myself, but to make a point. Doing that made it harder for me to cry because I had faked crying with my earthly dad. You see, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Before and after Christ. Even the stuff that's sown in you in the womb is being reaped right now. Thank God he don't let us see all of our reaping at one time. We'd just pass out. We couldn't take it, right? Okay, so you can change the condition of your heart. It's your choice. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you. Do you have a hardened heart? I know I've had one, and I don't want one. Lord, I want you to break away everything that's hard in my heart and in the lives of your children here, Lord. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, forgive me for hardening my heart, turning to promises I made myself that I would never grow up. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for vowing I'll never get angry like my dad and mother were angry. You see, you become like who you judge. Lord, forgive me for vowing I'll never treat my children like I was treated. Forgive me for turning to these promises to protect my heart. Forgive me for vowing I'll never marry anyone like my dad or mom. Forgive me for vowing I'll never be sloppy, dirty, disorganized like my mom and dad. Forgive me for vowing I'll never be perfectionistic like my mom or dad. Forgive me for vowing I'll get even. I'll get people back for what they've done to me. Forgive me for vowing I'll never speak to my mother, father, brother, sister again. Forgive me for vowing I'll never allow that in my house. Forgive me for vowing that when I become a parent, I will never do what my mother and dad did, or that I will do what they did. I break the vows that I've made, that no one will hear how I feel, that I'll never trust anyone again, I'll never love anyone again, I won't ever let anyone get close to me again, I break the vows that I'll show them, I'll be somebody They'll notice me. I'll never be hurt again. I'll have privacy. I'll eat all I want to eat, drink all I want to drink, take all the drugs I want to take. I break the vows I won't feel. You won't hurt me. I'll never act like them. I break vows I'll never have children. They're a pain. I break the vows I'll never have a boy or never have a girl. I'll be safe. I'll never share my heart with anyone again. I break the vows I'll never make myself vulnerable again. I break the vows that no one will ever restrict me. I break the vows I won't listen. I won't listen to people criticizing me and stabbing me and hurting me. I break the vows I won't wait. I'll do it myself. I break the vows that if I'm ever going to be blessed, recognized, respected, I'll have to make it happen myself. I break those vows. And Lord, forgive me for all the times that I hardened my heart when you were speaking to me. And I forgive my forefathers for a hardened heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me that when I've heard your voice, I've hardened my heart. Lord, I want you to show me how to break up my fallow ground. Show me how to praise, to plow it up. Forgive me for being like Ephraim, who treads and tramps his garden harder. You said you'll come over Ephraim's neck with a yoke. Lord, I ask you to break that yoke of Ephraim off their neck. Double fruit. I break the power of the yoke of Ephraim off their necks. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for listening to things and allowing myself to be programmed by the wrong thing. The other day, somebody made me aware of a particular teaching about a person that was real wounded because they were sexually molested and there were blocks in their head. And the man said the way that God delivered him was to read the Word of God out loud. That will reprogram your brain. It's something about reading it out loud, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is the opposite of fear, doubt, and unbelief. So you need to do that. Forgive me for not being in the Word. Forgive me for not watching over my heart with all diligence. God, forgive me for being insensitive, spiritually retarded. God, that hardness of heart that's passed down through the generations. God, I want a soft, tender heart that delights in you. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for being like the soil number one, where the seed falls beside the road and the devil gets the seed and steals it. Forgive me, Lord, for having the hard heart, receiving your word with joy, but then the minute I have a trial or a circumstance, it persecutes me because I don't want to repent, and I have been a person that faints and falls away. Lord, forgive me for being the third type of soil that the worries and the cares and the pleasures of this world and work has choked out the Word of God. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. And Lord, forgive me for not being like that good sandy loam that'll grow anything like Kevin's garden every summer, that wonderful garden that he has. God, we want to be like that spiritual garden that produces fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Forgive me for not being a disciple. Forgive me for being not being a person that Lord, that you that lets you discipline them. Forgive me for hating discipline. Forgive me for not letting you cultivate my soul and correct mistakes. God, I don't want to be the multitude. And I forgive my forefathers, and forgive me for being that multitude of people that you would give them eyes to see not, ears to hear not, and a heart that could not understand and be healed. Lord, give me ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand. Would you remove the stony heart, Lord, according to your word, that you'll take out the stony heart and give me a heart of flesh. Lord, right now I ask you to remove every stony heart. Lord, the stony heart that came down through the generations, they forgive their forefathers, Lord. And Lord, we take accountability for whatever happened to us in the loins of our forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, will you start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through the bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in our life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of a hard, stony heart, of eyes that see not, of ears that hear not, of hearts that are dull and insensitive and callous and can't understand and comprehend and retain. We break those curses off our lives in the name of Jesus. We break soul ties with our forefathers and every person that has hurt us. We call back our soul and spirit from them. We send back their souls and spirits to them. We change their image for the image of Christ. And we command every spirit of a hard, stony, insensitive, dull heart to go, leave me, leave every person in this room and every person that's listening on by the TV in the name of Jesus or the computer in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we break your power. We break your power over our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We command fear, doubt, unbelief, insensitivity, dullness, unbelief, doubt. Leave us now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food. We ask you to purify it and sanctify it. Lord, we ask you to bless every message that comes forth from Lake Hamilton, that it will be life-changing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask you to extend your shadow now. Lord, your shadow heals. We ask that you will overshadow Glenn and overshadow Patty and overshadow every person at this camp, Lord. Let your shadow cover this camp to heal every person and everything in it in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. And Lord, show us anything in our life that would block our healing and our deliverance in Jesus' name. Lord, we just want to be watchful over any area of our weakness to lay aside the sins that so easily entangles us that would give the enemy a door and a crack to bring bondage in our lives in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless the food, purified, sanctified. Lord, bless every person in this camp in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to put angels all around this camp. We ask you to cover this camp and Glenn and every person that works here at this camp, every person who speaks at this camp, every person who attends this camp, cover us with the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.